There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone who serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Saint Catherine of Siena was a remarkable saint, in some ways a little unrelatable. She was alive during the Black Plague, years and years ago in the medieval ages. She served people so well, served all the sick, served the dying. She cared for people in hospitals, but she was also a mystic. She had the stigmata, the wounds of Christ in her hands, feet, and side. She would have visions of our Lord appearing to her. She had all sorts of crazy things. She did amazing things in her life. She actually had a priest assigned to her because she had so many souls converting to Jesus Christ that she had to have someone there, a priest, who would hear confessions that she was bringing conversion to Christ. She would even go to the Pope and tell him what to do. And he'd listen because she was so holy. But one of the primary graces of her life that helped kickstart everything, when she was 18, for the past few years, she'd been spending her life as a kind of hermit. She lived with her parents, but she lived upstairs in a room, and all she did all day was pray. She'd leave for Mass every now and then, maybe serve others every now and then, but she'd just pray nonstop. Until one day, our Lord appeared to her, along with the saints, angels, and Mary herself. And Mary took St. Catherine of Siena's hand and brought it before Jesus Christ. And Jesus placed a ring on Catherine's finger and told her, "I'm espousing myself to you, betrothing you as my bride." For the rest of her life, St. Catherine had a ring that our Lord allowed to be invisible until the day she died. It had 4 pearls and a single diamond on her hand, showing that she had been married to Jesus Christ. And from that day on, Jesus told her, "Now go on, get out of your room and go and serve the poor. You can pray a lot still, but you need to go and serve in hospitals and the poor and proclaim the good news." And she did. But that day, when Christ claimed her as a bride, that was a primary grace for her. But it wasn't just for her. There actually have been many, many mystics who have had visions just like this, when Jesus espouses himself to them as his bridegroom. In fact, many, many of the mystics say the heights of holiness, when one loves Jesus as much as possible, the best way to explain that is a marriage. And it's not just the mystics. In our readings today, we heard from the prophet Isaiah. Yes, I'm pulling a Father Zane. He said, "No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate. You shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." But this is something that God has revealed to us. That's actually something the Lord wants and demands from each one of us. that the best way to describe the relationship that God seeks from each of our souls is that of a spousal. But the only relationship that comes close is marriage. It's just an analogy, yeah. But the analogy of marriage, of bride and groom giving themselves completely to one another, is the only thing that comes close to how Jesus wants us to receive him and us to give ourselves completely back to him. Yes, he speaks of friendship. Yeah, yes, he speaks of all sorts of images. But we cannot deny that the Lord has told us that he desires that kind of relationship. In our gospel today, the wedding feast at Cana, it's the first of his signs we hear St. John say. And these signs aren't just miracles. They are, but they're miracles that are supposed to say something, to show something more, to show the sign that Jesus himself is the bridegroom. For the Jewish people, it was the bridegroom's responsibility to provide the wine. And this particular bridegroom failed miserably and ran out pretty quickly. So Jesus provided 120 to 180 gallons of wine and showed himself as the bridegroom for all of Israel and for all of our hearts. This is the last thing. This relationship might sound, I don't know, strange. The Lord tells us all sorts of things proclaiming his gospel, how he's a warrior for his people, how he's a friend, but he also does say he is the bridegroom. And he's adamant about it. There might be part of us that wants us just to go back. Let's just be friends, Jesus. Or actually, maybe even less than that. Jesus, how about we just have a deal? How about we get to heaven and we're good? How about I show up, check the boxes when I need to? Besides that, we're okay. Okay? We're good? But Jesus doesn't want deals. Jesus doesn't want to be just friends either. Jesus wants that kind of relationship. And he is adamant about it. And the part of us that might want to hold back or even shy away and say, like, that's a little too much, our Lord is relentless. And he is a jealous lover. And if there's anything that gets between us and him, he will do what it takes with our permission, but he'll be relentless and coming to us again and again and getting rid of those things. The night before he died, Jesus said, remain in my love. And it's not a request, that is not a proposal, that is a commandment. We have to, in obedience to the Lord himself, remain in his love. Because without that, we will not love him back. And we will not love our brothers and sisters, no matter how much we think we will. In obedience and to please our Lord, we have to remain in the love of Jesus Christ, who gives himself nonstop and pours himself out in desire for our hearts, who desires to be the bridegroom of our soul.